Hey folks, Preet here. This is a recording of my weekly note. Someone should sit this one out. As always, please send your thoughts and questions to letters@cafe.com. Dear listener, Justice Clarence Thomas is famously reticent on the bench. He doesn't talk much. He doesn't ask questions often. He once went a full decade without making a single query of counsel at oral argument. But in the wake of the leaked Alito draft opinion that would undo Roe v. Wade and the ensuing protests, Thomas is raising his voice. But it is impossible to accept the truth of the matters he has asserted in recent out-of-court statements. Speaking at a judicial conference in Georgia 2 weeks ago, Thomas said that as a society, quote, we are becoming addicted to wanting particular outcomes, not living with the outcomes we don't like, end quote. He went on, quote, we can't be an institution that can be bullied into giving you just the outcomes you want. The events from earlier this week are a symptom of that, end quote. Well, that's almost as rich as Elon Musk. Let's talk about outcomes and discuss who the addicts are. Thomas willfully ignores 49 years of agitation by anti-abortion activists who have never been able to abide an outcome they didn't like. Because of an addiction to a particular outcome, legislatures in at least 13 states have passed so-called trigger laws, which would ban abortion to varying degrees in the event Roe is overturned. The legislature in Texas, in passing the bounty provisions in SB 8, and the legislature in Mississippi, in passing the anti-abortion law now being considered by the Supreme Court, announced loudly and clearly that they could not abide the outcome in Roe, which has been settled law for half a century. Consider the endless campaign to alter the balance of the court, a counter-majoritarian effort undertaken with particular zeal and focus. And the singular agenda item was to undo an outcome they have never liked or learned to live with. Consider also the record of violence and murder and bullying by anti-abortion forces over the years. In fact, in the wake of pervasive harassment and obstruction outside abortion clinics, in 1994, Congress passed the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, or FACE Act, to protect the rights guaranteed by Roe. In July 1994, Paul Hill, an anti-abortion protester and former pastor, murdered Dr. John Bayard Britton and James H. Barrett, a clinic volunteer. The attack took place outside of a woman's health center. In January 1998, anti-abortion activist Eric Rudolph planted and detonated a bomb outside of an abortion clinic in Birmingham, Alabama, killing Robert Sanderson, a security guard for the clinic. The other victim was Emily Lyons, a nurse at the clinic who was maimed and left half blind. In October of that year, anti-abortionist James Kopp killed Dr. Barnett Slepian with a high-powered rifle. Dr. Slepian was standing in his kitchen with his family when Kopp shot him through the window. In November 2015, Robert Louis Deere Jr. shot 12 people in a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Three were killed, while 9 others were injured. Deere later turned himself in, stating, quote, I am a warrior for the babies, end quote. According to an analysis by Vox, between 1977 and 2015, there were 8 murders, 17 attempted murders, 42 bombings, and 186 arsons targeted at abortion clinics and providers across the United States. Clarence Thomas is up in arms over some peaceful protests. He might think about all the murder and mayhem visited upon doctors and women and clinics since Roe was decided. There is, of course, another rich irony in Thomas's lecturing us about accepting outcomes. What, in recent times, is the least accepted outcome on the part of a radical group of conspiracy theorists in America? It's the election of 2020. We had a fair and free process. The outcome was that Biden won and Trump lost. And yet we have legions of elected officials and Kraken lawyers and cable television hosts who have not learned to live with that outcome. More than that, we had a group of violent rioters try to bully a co-equal branch of government into doing that which they could not achieve fair and square at the ballot box, installing Donald Trump in the White House for a second term. They didn't hold up some signs on a street. They stormed the Capitol, chanted Hang Mike Pence, and looked for members of Congress to hurt. More than that, among the group of deniers and insurrectionist sympathizers is Justice Thomas's very own wife, who was advocating to the Trump circle that the election outcome must be reversed. Given his wife's involvement in the big lie, instead of doing the ethical thing and recusing himself from matters relating to January 6th, Thomas has the nerve to berate peaceful pro-choice advocates about the need to accept outcomes they don't like. Here's the thing about outcomes. People are more likely to live with one if the process leading to the outcome has indicia of fairness and good faith. If there is a perception of cheating or gamesmanship or mendacity, acceptance will naturally be more difficult. For many, the near certainty that Roe will be overruled is a hard pill to swallow for just these reasons. The denial of a seat to Merrick Garland, the rush to seat Amy Coney Barrett, the insincere reverence for settled precedents mouthed by various Republican nominees at their confirmation hearings, and the bad faith constitutional arguments contained in the draft opinion, all of these conspire to undermine the legitimacy of this new outcome, perceived to be wrought by radicals who couldn't live with the last outcome. Whatever else may be true, on the issue of living with outcomes you don't like, Clarence Thomas should sit this one out. My best, Preet.